We really have to stop meeting like this, my dear. People are going to talk more than they already do. Oh, there's yet life in him. Though with how much you've been drinking, I should have placed a wager. You haven't been drinking. Then I'll assume these empty bottles simply grew beneath your feet like toadstools. Is that it? It pains me to see you reduced to this, dearest. I know. You've struggled with your latest work. Your landlord even hears you sob in frustration. Be glad he doesn't see you like this, or he'd finally have the excuse to evict you. Is that how you wish to end your story? In the gutter, diseased, sodden with liquor, wearing clothes not your own? I let dear Edgar slip from me that way, and it pains me to see you start down his path. Nevermore, indeed. But getting so drunk you can't hold a pen is hardly the remedy. You still haven't figured it out? You're wide awake, and you can see me standing plain before you. What more proof do you need? Consider all the times you've seen me in the past. A wink from the shadows, a smile in the last flare of your lamp, a caress on the cheek as you slept. And where are you now? Morning? Your window faces west, don't you recall? It's the evening now. You spent the whole day in a drunken slumber. Plenty of artists have found inspiration in the bottom of a bottle, yes. But if you haven't found it in the bottom of the last 24 bottles, what makes you think another 24 will be any different? And even if you did find it, you'd be so far into your cups that you couldn't act upon it. How did you phrase it with your friends?
Some ruffian keeps moving the floor as I walk on it. How rude.
And the state of your apartment. A farmer would laugh to see such a fine sty with no pigs to wallow in it. I can't even call it a rat's nest because the rats moved out weeks ago in protest. I knew a one-eared Dutchman in an asylum who kept a cleaner room than you, while painting in oils, no less. However, I am not without sympathy for your plight. I can see them, you know. What do I mean? Your ideas, floating around your head, bouncing off of each other in your mind, like grains of sand in the whirlwind. On good days, they merely distract and annoy, like a flock of songbirds or children. On the bad days, they haunt you, like a soldier is haunted by his dead comrades or the faces of his enemies. And only by writing them down can they be silenced. And I've seen your frustration when you sit down to write. You gaze at the paper, digging for the words you need, but none of the words come to mind. You can think of the words, yes, but they're not the right ones. And why squander your time in ink writing words that aren't the ones you desire? And when you do force yourself to write them, it takes every last shred of willpower not to set fire to the manuscript. And the pen, and the desk, and this very apartment. None can doubt how you hunger and thirst to make your writings known. You thirst physically as well. No, I can't hand you that pitcher of water. I'm not real, remember? You'll have to stand on your own 2 feet to slake your thirst. Yes, do hold on to your table as you walk. It is good that you fell asleep with your shoes on, or you might step on a bottle and cut your feet on the glass. That's it. Careful. Well done. I am tempted to complain about how much of that water you poured on yourself, but it's probably been ages since you've bathed. Not that artists are ever known for their cleanliness. But there is more, is there not? Yes, your ideas haunt you, and at times the words float from your grasp. But there is more to that, wouldn't you agree? That feeling of inadequacy that sits in the base of your stomach, that every step you've climbed, every achievement you've reached was good fortune and nothing more? That idea that you're no great writer, merely a poser wearing a mask of actual skill, and one day that mask will fall off and you'll be a fraud, and your shortcomings will be laid as bare as the sunrise before all who once respected you. Have I left anything out? Oh dear, please forgive me. Crying is unbecoming of such a lovely face. Here, let me sit beside you. Oh, let it out, dear. You may cry into my breast if you wish. There. We can talk more once you've composed yourself. I dare say you need this as much as you need my words. May I play with your hair while I wait? Thank you. Feel better? Good. Now dry your tears and we can continue. Better. Now tell me plainly, do you truly think that you alone, among all the artists I have seen, fear that you are unworthy and inadequate for the praises you receive? What? Do you think I only came into being when some visionary made the first absinthe? That made my job easier, to be sure, but ever since there has been art, I have inspired those who please me. I whispered in the ears of the Neanderthals who first painted on the walls of their caves. When the Sumerians first spun a potter's wheel, I held it steady. I showed the Chinese how to turn the silkworm's cocoon into thread and fabric. And I tell you this, every artist worthy of the title has doubted themselves, and even some who weren't artists. Did you ever hear the tale of Julius Caesar? Yes, but this tale was before he became emperor. In his 30s, he was stationed in Hispania, we call it Spain these days, on military business. One day, he walked through the town and stopped by the Temple of Hercules. Near the entrance, he found a statue of Alexander the Great, who had lived some 3 centuries earlier. And the great Julius Caesar wept. When his friends asked him what ailed him, he explained that at the age of 33, the same as him, Alexander had conquered a sizable portion of the known world, from Greece to India. But he had accomplished nothing with his time. Think of it. The man who would make Rome an empire, whose name is still used as a royal title, weeping for having done nothing. Now, granted, he didn't become any of those things until his 40s or so, and he was never called emperor himself, but still, my point stands. What I mean is that you're trying to see the end from the beginning. Only a few people in the world are granted that privilege, and even they often feel the same way you did. Even Moses told God that he had a slow tongue. Assuming you remember that story, it's probably been years since you last touched a Bible. Believe me that I have a knack for seeing these sort of things. You can emerge from this malaise a stronger man than when you entered it. You have a great work still in you, maybe several. The kind of work that will have people toasting your genius and make future generations of artists utter your name with reverence. It would be a tragedy if those works never came forth because you drank yourself to death. Critics? What of the critics? Let them languish in their obscurity. Tell me of a writer you admire. One who's been dead at least 50 years or so. Ah, fine choice. Now tell me what critics spoke about them in their day. Of course you don't remember. History didn't think it important enough to record. It is the man in the arena who is worth remembering, whether in victory or defeat. Not the cold, timid critics and naysayers who never risked themselves in the public eye. Yes, I did quote somebody there. And no, I can't tell you who, because he won't say it for another 20 years or so. Now, I've said my piece. Do you feel at least a little better about things? I'd hate to think this was all for naught. Even a little is more than you had before. Now, as for this writer's block, you've tried finding inspiration in your pain, but what about pleasure? No, I don't mean hiring a lady of the evening, and you're in no condition to go seduce a woman. I mean, me. If I've soothed your mind, let me soothe your body, too. No, no, don't go down on me. You've tasted me enough for now. Let me take care of you. Now, loosen those trousers. Oh, very good. A finer member has never been carved. Now lay back on your bed and let me do the thinking for you now. Let my fingers dance upon your shaft. I can already see you squirming. Has it truly been that long since your manhood was touched? Your writing isn't the only thing being blocked, I see. But this block, we can fix easily. It's truly a shame you haven't shared this with any of the young women you meet around town. I am as serious as the grave. They're impressionable young women seeking to rebel. You're a writer and a poet, and a rather a bohemian at that. Cupid himself couldn't grant you an easier opportunity. And the face you make as I grasp your manhood. Only a woman with a heart of iron could deny such a cute face in the throes of passion. Perhaps my hand isn't enough to grant you release. Perhaps a different tool is required. What do I mean? You've tasted me frequently, so why don't I return the favor? Oh, I can see how you like this. Glad to know that for all the centuries of mankind's progress, some things will never change. Oh, fascinating flavor, if I do say so myself. It starts out almost heavy and oppressive, like butter. But there are these streaks of citrus that jump out into view, like fireworks through a thick fog. And surrounding it all are these fumes of cinnamon and wormwood, but that might just be me. All in all, it's an acquired taste, but once you finally understand how the pieces come together, you'll never taste anything like it again. Of course I'm talking about the taste of your loins. What else would I be talking about? My mouth isn't tight enough for your ecstasy. It's a good thing I have a way to hold you even tighter. Let me remove my dress. Ah, much better. Do you like what you see? A body fit for a sculptor. And more than a few sculptors have tried, believe me. But now... How is this, my dear? Am I gripping you tightly enough? Oh, it is rare for me to share my light with an artist, but it's even rarer for me to share my body. But for you, it's worth it. Please, please more. Oh, wonderful. Oh, but I require more. Oh, gaze at my breasts, so full and plump, shaking like fruit on the vine. Oh, fondle them, dearest. Let them fill your hands and your mind. Oh, well done. Oh, I weep for all the women whose bosoms you'll never know or caress. God. You feel so good. More, please, more. Tell me you're close. Tell me you're close. Give me your seed. That was certainly unplanned. Not unwanted, surely, but unplanned. Surely you feel better now than before. Good. Now you look quite tired. So I think the wise thing to do is to let you rest. Very well. I can lay with you as you drift off to sleep. But tomorrow morning, you need to take care of yourself. Bathe, trim that stubble, clean up this place, get a proper meal somewhere. Maybe take a walk by the river or talk with a pretty girl. Don't even worry about writing tomorrow. Just let your mind rest. Trust me. Besides, you've been stuck like this for months. One more day will hardly make things worse. Of course I'm right, but you need to keep yourself in balance. A rested man writes much, a tired man writes little, and a dead man writes nothing at all. And mark my words, your time will come, as it comes for all men. But you have some work to do before you can meet it properly. And once you get out of this slump, we must discuss you finding a wife. I can't bear you a child. And if genius is in the blood, then your bloodline needs continuing, like Lord Byron's daughter. Her work will be hugely important in a century's time. Mark my words. Be here when you wake up. I'm a figment of your imagination. I was never here to begin with. Good night, my dear.